You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
So my CB, I'm on my CB, Paul.
Oh, I love a good CB.
You got to do this with the microphone.
Okay,
really,
does that help?
Yeah, you kind of cone it, yep. And it makes it sound like it's a CB.
Yeah, you got to like hurt the quality.
Yeah. All right, Roger, what's your handle?
Yeah,
what's your handle?
DP, over. Diet Pepsi, I'm looking at. I don't know.
Okay. What's your 20? DP.
Mile marker 54, over.
Yeah, you got any lot loot?
Lot loot?
No, I don't know. We should ask Cliff if that was a real thing.
Well, people are putting on a lot of miles over the holidays coming up here, Paul. Christmas, New Year's. A lot of people are putting on a lot of miles.
A lot of miles and a lot of pounds. People are packing the pounds on.
Packing the pounds and packing the miles on. Getting ready for those New Year's resolutions.
Can't wait.
Most people don't make resolutions to travel less.
They try to eat less, I guess, or whatever it is.
Happy New Year's resolution season, Wassonians.
It's upon us.
But nobody puts on more miles professionally.
Go ahead.
Than truckers.
That's right.
So we thought we'd combine the holidays with travel and professional truckers.
Yeah, I love it.
This is the Wausau Business Show Holiday Trucking Special.
All right, let's go.
And it's also episode number 6-7.
Oh my God, of course it is.
Jude, Jack, take it away.
So down low, to the side, up in heaven, 6-7.
This is the Wausau Business Show. And now, here are your wildcat eating, eggnog slurping, ugly sweater wearing, Tom and Jerry loving, bad Santa hosts.
Hey, Griswold, where do you think you're going to put a tree that big?
Ryan and Paul.
Bend over and I'll show you.
The Wausau Business Show.
It's a sweater song from Weezer there.
Yeah.
That's a holiday Christmas song, you know.
Well, like a holiday sweater?
Well, I think it could be like an ugly sweater.
Sure. I saw a few last night at the old holiday party.
Yeah, the Christmas party. Merry Christmas, Wassonians. It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
On our holiday trucking special.
Let's truck.
Coming up on the show this week, the owner of one of the largest transportation and logistics companies in the entire Midwest, Paul. The legendary Sutton Transportation.
The legendary company. Cliff's going to come in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. They started around the same time as FedEx. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Federal Express started in 1971, and Sutton Transportation just started a few years later.
A few short years later.
So we'll hear all about that, cool. And there was like deregulation around that time.
Yeah.
So Cliff Sutton was, until recently, the president and CEO of Sutton Transportation.
Right.
And he, with his family, recently exited, sold the company, and we'll hear about how that went down and what he's doing now.
Yeah, good for them. They cashed out, as they say.
It's the holiday trucking special on the Wausau Business Show.
No one better than Cliff Sutton to come in and talk to us about trucking.
There's one person that comes close, if not equal to.
Go ahead.
The trucking theme keeps going. Here, I'll give you a riddle about the second guess.
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
He's a great guy to see when you don't need to see him. Like today, we're going to see him.
Okay.
And he's a great guy to see today because I don't need to see him.
I think the emphasis on need. Okay.
He's a great guy to see when you don't need to see him. Today, we don't need to see him. It's going to be great to see him.
But we're going to see him today.
Right.
Okay.
When you do need to see him, you're in a tough spot.
And it has to do with trucking, I'm assuming.
Towing.
Oh, I know who it is.
Joe Rader. Joe Rader's going to be stopping
by and
giving us a lot of details about his business.
Yeah.
Also a family company.
Very great guy. That Joe Rader.
The holiday trucking special.
Let's put some miles on today, Ryan.
Let's go. And some breaking news.
Oh, double breaking. Breaker.
Breaker 19.
Yeah, there you go.
Breaker 19.
Way to stay on theme. Nice work.
The Wausau Business Show. Breaking news.
Eric Marotek is back on the Wausau airwaves.
Eric, welcome back.
Welcome back, Eric. Welcome back, Eric, again.
Yeah.
We missed you again.
Eric is back.
God.
Mr. Morotek, after the tragedy that befall him and Melissa Langben.
Oh, that Channel 9 tragedy. So he's on what, Channel 7 now?
He's on Channel 7 now.
Okay. All right. Good for you, Eric.
Good to see his smiling face back, his professionalism.
Yeah.
He's a great anchor.
One of the best we've got.
Still miss my Melissa Langben, though.
Yeah.
Real tragedy. I wish she'd come back on. I really wish she'd come back on.
We got to get her back on the show and see what she's been up to.
And I got one more piece of breaking news. You ready?
Yeah, I love breaking news. Almost as much as I like rumors.
Here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
The Wausau Business Show. Breaking news.
We break the news so you don't have to.
There was a Wausaunian woman.
Okay.
Who has been selected for Time Magazine's top 100 photos of 2025.
You're kidding me.
Her name is Gabby Brokima.
Gabby Brokima.
Brokima.
Brockman. Brockman. Hopefully we're getting that right, Gabby.
She took a picture of the moon, a blood worm moon, over Wausau.
Okay.
And if you pick up the Time Magazine, I guess it's... do they still publish Time Magazine?
Yeah, I think they still print that.
Okay.
I think.
But she was selected globally.
Wow.
From Wausau, Wisconsin. She took the picture in Wausau, Wisconsin.
Of the moon.
Of the worm. It's called a blood worm moon.
Never heard of a blood worm moon before, but it must be a cool picture. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Look
at that. It looks like there's a streak coming. She must have kept the exposure open just long enough.
Wow, it sounds like you know what you're talking about.
She just had the aperture set perfectly. I learned all this from Dave Calloway.
Show off.
So congratulations to Gabby. We'll just call her Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby. Way to go.
It was shot here in Wausau, Wisconsin. Of all the pictures taken globally in the world,
right,
one of the top 100 photos, according to Time Magazine, was right here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Do we know if any of the other 99 were of the moon or any other celestial body, if you will?
Uranus. No, I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll stop there.
Yeah, just hold your thoughts, actually, on second thought. Never mind.
It's episode 67.
Hey.
67.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. The holiday trucking special on the Wausau Business Show. Merry Christmas.
It's got a ring to it, the trucking special.
Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home. Roll on family, roll on crew, roll on mama like I asked you to do. And roll on 18-wheeler, roll on.
Thanks for listening to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausaunians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning. Incredible grit to achieve success. Incredible determination to sustain results. And incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
This broadcast is copyrighted by the Wausau Business Show, LLC, for the private use of our audience and may not be rebroadcast, retransmitted, or reproduced in any way without the express written consent of the NFL. Specifically, anyone at the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, particularly Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love. Go Pack Go. It's strictly prohibited for the Green Bay Packers not to win the Super Bowl this year. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like a bandit run.
The Wausau Business Show Holiday Trucking Special. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And here we are with Cliff Sutton from Sutton Transportation.
Hello, Cliff. Welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We wanted to talk a lot about a lot of different stuff here, but this is our trucking special. We're celebrating the trucking industry.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
It's National Trucking Day.
Yeah, sure. Okay. On the Wausau Business
Let's
Show.
Let's celebrate it.
We're just celebrating the highways and byways of the United States of America that go through Wausau, Wisconsin, which is the epicenter of Wisconsin, as
What's
we know.
A byway?
I don't know. So it's like a bayou, except it's more northern, I guess. Cliff, let's start with Sutton Transportation, though, if we can back up.
Sure.
Your dad started that with his wife.
1979.
Deb. Your dad, Frank Butch.
That's right. Yep.
They started with a single truck.
Yep.
And grew to how many in the fleet?
We had about 400 when we sold off.
Last 400 year. Cabs and trailers.
400 trucks, probably... 700-800 trailers.
And reefers and all different sizes? And
mostly dry van. Eventually, our core business was just, it was LTL trucking. So dry van, you know, trailers were outfitted, dry van trailers outfitted with roll doors and, you know, made for multi-stop and delivery.
Mom and Dad started with a single truck, grew to over 700, 500 all over. Dad was in, served in Southeast Asia on USS Iwo Jima.
Done your homework.
Well, it's an incredible story. I mean, you start with a single truck. I couldn't understand how the air freight came into play.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we got our start. So it is kind of the old story of, you know, a guy in a truck and, you know, my mom supporting him. And they started as an air freight cartage company up here in Wausau. So a company called Burlington Northern needed somebody to help pick up and deliver their air freight packages up in this area.
Yeah.
And he did pretty well at it. So they started offering him other opportunities in other geographies like the Fox Valley and Madison area. So he started taking that on and was really just running air freight. They'd pick up and deliver during the day and then at night run the trucks down to Milwaukee, I believe, to catch a plane and
go all over the world.
Right, right, right.
And your dad was a pilot as well, though, right?
He was, yeah. Yeah, he flew little Cessnas around, you know, more as a hobby.
But that had nothing to do with the carrier.
Yeah, no, okay. No, yeah.
Okay.
That was separate. Right, more of a hobby.
Okay. And then your dad passed away kind of unexpectedly of cancer. I mean, to the extent that you can pass away unexpectedly of cancer.
Yeah, he battled for 2 or 3 years before he passed away.
Yeah. And that was in 2014?
Correct, yeah.
So then you kind of took the reins of the company with your mom. Is that how that worked? How did that work?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a good question. Honestly, it was kind of an organic situation. I had moved down to Milwaukee. I went to school in Milwaukee and graduated around 2005.
With honors, high honors, with, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah, a hell of a student. Yeah,
not so much. But,
well, the Lubar School of College of Business at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee is
very
no joke. Very prestigious.
Yeah. So we managed to muddle our way through college and I was able to graduate. And I was running our facility down there from 05 to 2012. And at that point, was married and started to have kids. And my dad was ill. So decided to move back up here to Wausau. And just kind of organically ended up taking the reins over and building the business.
So you moved back up here in 2012, boomeranged back to Wausau.
Yeah, boomeranger.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have come back anyway had your dad not gotten ill?
That's a really good question. Probably. I think the Wausau area is just a good place for a family.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably the natural order of things even from a business perspective, our corporate office was up here. Yeah. So I think if there was going to be a succession that at some point we were probably going to be coming back here. But I don't know. I mean, if I was doing something different, it's hard to say if I would have made it back up or not.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have three brothers that work.
And they're involved too?
Are they older or younger?
Yeah, they were. I had one older brother and two younger brothers. Yeah. They all kind of played different roles. One worked in safety, one worked in operations, one worked in the sales area.
Okay. And you were the leader?
Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way.
Like the chosen one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I just put the most time in.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But your dad passed when he was 65. Mm-hmm. God rest his soul. Your dad had his CDL. Did you wind up getting your CDL?
That's the only thing I didn't do in the business.
I was curious about that. That was one of my...
Yeah. Okay. It was kind of a strategic move, too, because, you know, once you had your CDL, then you're driving. Yeah. It's hard to get anything else done because, when there's a shortage, that's where we look around. Hey, who's got their CDL? Because, you know, it's the next man up.
Cliff, you're up, buddy.
Exactly. So I did drive. You know, we have, you know, smaller non-CDL box trucks. So I did have, you know, I did get out and about sometimes.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, actually. But yeah, I worked pretty much in every area of the business outside of driving a tractor trailer down the road.
There was a point in my life where I seriously considered trying to get my CDL and just hit the road.
Yeah.
I think there's something very alluring about that lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, we took a trip.
Yeah, and when you're in a box truck, you're kind of at the same height and same level
as
somebody in an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, you're close. Yeah.
I like driving the trucks that are as large as you can get without having your CDL.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're at the same eye level as the real professionals.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to pretending like I'm a professional truck driver in that large box truck, I like doing the thing with, you know, when he's putting on his blinker, he's in the left lane, he wants to get over to the right lane or vice versa, and I blink my lights, you know,
give him twice. The courtesy blink.
Yeah, the courtesy blink. And then I can tell whether or not he takes me seriously if he gives me the courtesy flashes after I let him over.
Thank you.
He blinks the hazard lights, the red hazard lights twice as a thank you. So I know the road, Cliff. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
He knows rules. The language.
The unwritten rules of the road. Yeah. And I think that experience is probably good for somebody that wants a taste of the road,
but yeah,
not all the danger that the 18-wheeler brings.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
I mean, especially this time of year.
Yeah. What do you call them? Missiles on the road?
Or 80,000-pound missiles going down the road.
Yeah, yeah, right.
This is the first year that a snowstorm's come through Wisconsin, and I haven't had, you know, the anxiety and
all. You actually get a good night's sleep.
Right.
It's a lot of insurance.
It's a lot of insurance. It's a lot of liability. And honestly, those are some of the drivers that, you know, made it a little bit easier to take another path here. So,
yeah, God, just thinking back on my life, I know, you know, some professional truck drivers, but
Brager.
I also, growing up, had a friend that had a stepdad that was, and I won't name names, but the stepdad was a professional OTR.
Yeah, long hauler.
Long hauler. And he was never home, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to my friend, he's not home a lot. And I'm like, does he have another family?
Mm.
Turns out he had another family.
Oh, that panned out.
That prediction. Many years later.
How old were you?
I was 17. Okay. I'm like, you know, this guy's.
So you're old enough to start putting.
Yeah,
putting
two and two together.
What a creative thinker this guy is.
What's the, like, your top driver that you had for Sutton? What's the most? Because I know guys have millions of miles, right? Yes. Or a million mile club.
So our business, I think when people think about trucking, they traditionally think about truckload, which is just point A to point B, full truckload type of service. And those guys are putting on a ton of miles. Our network is set up more like an airline.
Okay.
Think about it that way.
Hub and spoke kind of deal?
Yeah. Where there's major hubs like a Chicago O'Hare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where a lot of the, you know, end of the line terminal or airport terminals fly into and out of and then transfer. So our network is set up more similar to that. So we're not putting on the kinds of miles that the long haulers are. I think I want to say our trucks typically traveled like 75,000 miles a year.
Oh, that's not very many for a, okay. Cause some of those 18 wheelers have like 500,000 miles on them, right? Or more.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them will go up to a million or more before they wow. start to crash out.
Yeah. Wow. So when you're doing that kind of trucking, let's make sure we're on the same page.
Go ahead.
When they're doing that kind of trucking and it's a shorter hub and spoke model, are they still kind of working the CB?
Yeah, what's the CB life like these days?
Are they doing the break 1.9? What's your 20?
You know, I can't say.
10.4 over and out.
We got a bear up here.
Again, without having my CDL, I can't say. And anytime I do a ride along, I'm sure everyone was on their best behavior. So I can't say exactly what is happening from a communication standpoint. But unfortunately, I think some of that Americana has evolved over the years and needing to be hands-free in the cab and all that sort of thing. I think they're pretty much on Bluetooth these days.
Okay. And phones or and an app?
Yeah. Are they still using CBs? CB?
I think there's decorative ones I think they're still using to some degree, probably more as trying to think of the word, more of a
nostalgic
thing. Yeah, right. But
I just read break one nine, what's your 20?
Yeah, it's a great
driver.
Sound.
Huh? What's up, driver? And everybody had a handle. Yeah. Flip bear 120. This is Aaron. What's your 20? Over. Got a bear up here.
A bear is a cop, right?
Smokey.
Smokey. Right? Okay. Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
All right.
I had to hammer down. Smokey up here.
Smokey up here on mile marker 35.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was like, okay, what's the best truck stop in America? As I think back on my,
Do you know
what is the best? I mean, I feel really unprepared for this interview. Right now. Okay.
again, we've got him on his heels, folks.
Not spending the amount of time in the cab of the truck has really done me an injustice here today. So
we wanted you to be our hero of trucking, Cliff.
I'm more of the behind the scenes guy.
No, kidding. But it grew into an unbelievable company, and you, after your father passed away, you led the company to great success, and then you decided to merge with Dorn. And what was behind that decision, kind of merging, or you want to call it a exit or whatever?
But. Yeah, it was kind of an evolution. The company that purchased us is called Pitt, Ohio. They're based out of Pittsburgh. They have a similar flagship company to ours. They're larger, but...
And then that's a Dorn. How does that work with Dorn?
Yeah, so Pitt, Ohio has a number of other transportation companies in their portfolio.
Okay.
And Dorn being one of them.
I got it. Okay.
So we, Sutton and Dorn, competed at pretty much, you know, head-to-head level. So I think it was kind of attractive for Pitt, Ohio to look to purchase us. And
they just came knocking?
And merge us. So yeah, they came knocking, you know.
Were you looking?
No, not really.
They made you an offer you couldn't refuse.
They made us a good offer.
Okay.
It was an evolution. You know, they came knocking 2 or 3 years prior and just stayed in touch. And I think, you know, it just came to a point where the stars aligned and, you know, we were able to come to some terms. I never really looked at any point, but I always kept an open door too. When people would call, I'd always have the conversation because you just never know. So I think it's important to keep an open door when it comes to that.
And you're how old's your mom now?
I don't think she wants me
okay,
to say.
Okay, yeah, we shouldn't ask. I shouldn't.
What? Yeah, how dare you?
Well, how would you allow me to ask that kind of question?
Bad. My bad. I got to be
your mom's still
that.
In her 40s, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
42, yeah. All right, Ryan? Right.
But she was on board with everything and supportive, obviously.
Yeah,
and your family.
Between my mom and my three brothers, you know, we certainly had a lot of discussions over it, and it was not an easy decision.
I would imagine.
By any means,
right.
For sure. You know, there's definitely a legacy that we built.
And the price has to be right.
The price has to be right. Right. I'll tell you one thing about trucking, and especially LTL trucking where we're in. It's so the capital needs are so brutal. It's so brutally intensive from a capital level.
Who did you bank with?
A number of different banks.
Okay.
You know, we tried to spread it around a little bit, I think, is important.
Yeah, make them compete a little bit.
Right.
Too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
no offense to my banking friends.
Hey, Chris.
But it's important to have strong relationships, you know, of course, in that area, because again,
your CapEx budget and everything is just huge every year.
And especially if you want to grow,
right.
I mean, it's
that's nuts.
Everything you're making, you're constantly pushing back into the company.
Right.
So, I mean, to be honest, the liquidity was attractive for the, you know, the family. So, there was a number of different factors that we thought, you know, it was just made at the right time.
And you own the trucks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big, probably the biggest asset the company had.
Yeah. Trucks and trailers were. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Paul.
A lot of money.
The people are the biggest asset. You are an asshole.
Thank you for resetting me.
Good catch.
Yeah.
From a tangible asset.
There you go, Cliff. Yes. Cliff's
the kittens were the biggest asset.
There's also, I mean, in LTL trucking, there's also a lot of real estate too. We had 13 different locations, and you know, it's difficult to grow organically in our business because you need the right location. You need, there's a ton of drag on startup.
You're not greenfielding all these locations. It's better because you went through a bunch of acquisitions. I saw.
Yeah, Sutton purchased 3 businesses during our life cycle, primarily over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And if you can find the right opportunity, it's the best way to grow in that industry because you bring the density right into your network. There's no service issues trying to, like you said, greenfield a new territory.
Right.
So if you can find those opportunities, that's the best way to.
But I would imagine,
expand.
You know, you're sitting down there, you know, you're probably the one getting all the emails and all the calls from whoever was representing Dorn, you know, obviously day to day running the family company that your mom and dad started, a lot of emotion involved with that. And then you sit down with I know any family business exiting is a huge decision. And then particularly when there's a lot of family members involved in the business, an even bigger decision. So kudos to get alignment on all of that.
I mean, professionally, it was definitely the hardest thing to go through. I mean, not just the emotion, but just getting, there's so much complication to trying to manage records and trying to, you know, keep people aligned with the goals and the mission. And for a certain period of time, trying to do that under wraps, you know, you don't want anything like that to get out too early to
stress people out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Messaging is big.
So, yeah. And you want to be able to control the narrative. So yeah, it was a really difficult process, but we got through it and we're on to our next chapter.
Yeah. So you're leaving the stresses of all of that, you know, the weight of
the missiles on the road
behind, but you know, thank God for the trucking industries and the truckers out there. We celebrate them. We love them, but that is a hell of a lot of responsibility, to be a professional on the road, driving the missiles, you know, and being safety first, obviously at all costs, but then to own and operate the whole thing. I mean, to have the weight of that taken off of you and your family is probably a nice thing.
Yeah, it has been.
You breathe a sigh of relief.
A nice change. Yeah, I mean, there's new challenges, of course, right? Yeah. Every business has its own unique set of challenges. So it's not, you know, it's not like we're sitting on beaches and
you moved on to Envoy Logistics, and I want to talk about that. It's a cool software company now. So you're kind of in the same industry. So you exited January almost a year ago now, a little less than a year ago.
Right.
So you sold for millions of dollars.
Billions, I heard. Billions. Did you say billions?
Millions with an M.
Okay.
We can go with billions, though. Yeah. We're not going to fact check it. Congratulations.
Neat story. Yeah. You made $1 billion, Cliff. Right. Congratulations.
What are you going to do with all that? But yeah, you had the liquidity event. You and the family cashed out millions of dollars, obviously, for this company of this size. That's obvious. No secret there. And then you kind of pivot and roll out Envoy Logistics, which started under Sutton and Pallet Pro. But Envoy Logistics is a software company that you developed, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So Envoy Logistics, we characterize ourselves as a third-party logistics company, which is kind of a wide berth of companies that fall under that umbrella. So we started Envoy in 2017 as a solution for a lot of our customers. Before Envoy existed, all we could offer them is Midwestern LTL trucking, right? That's all we did. We had, you know, a dozen sales reps out there calling on our customers and new business. So we started Envoy as a solution to offer those customers that trusted us other solutions outside of what our core offering could provide. So the TMS itself kind of works like an Expedia type of thing. Mm-hmm. You'll punch in your shipment information, you know, where it's going to, classification, weight, you know, skids, weights, whatever, and it'll populate all your chosen carriers in your profile.
How many clients do you have with Envoy now?
I think we have close to 600.
And did you, how many clients did you have with Sutton?
2,500 active.
Okay. And was there a non-compete involved in taking any customers or overlap with Envoy or anything like that?
There wasn't not revolving that. I have a non-compete that I can't participate in LTL trucking directly.
3 to 5 years or
5 years. Okay. Which I'm not looking to do anytime soon.
You got
to
get that CDL and get out there.
Right.
You know, the cortisol or whatever it's called to jack back up.
Yeah.
Your office for Envoy is in the Dudley Tower now.
Correct.
You've got hundreds, but your goal for Envoy and the software that helps logistics all over the country, really, the mission of Envoy is to redefine the logistics experience around the globe. Right. And that's cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, our customers ship across the globe, and Envoy's offerings is developed over.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh no.
Just a little bit of Christmas honking in the background. Go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah. So our offerings.
You'll hear gunshots next. Right? No, I'm just kidding.
Should we get down on the floor?
Yeah.
Get down. They've got us surrounded. Yeah. Get down. Yeah.
No, sorry. But seriously, yeah. Like, who would you say your biggest competitors are in this space then?
I mean, if you look at the big guys, I'd say like a C.H. Robinson or an Echo. We're certainly not anywhere near the size that they are yet.
Yeah.
But yet.
So you're hoping to grow this, you know, and then maybe Dorn will come knocking again and want to buy this, or?
I don't know. I don't have a trigger event or anything set up right now. To be honest, I was one of the best parts of the Sutton deal was I was able to bring a handful of my best executives over from Sutton over to Envoy. So I was able to start with a really good leadership team. And my goal and ambition isn't just to, you know, grow Envoy and exit again. I really want you know, them to be able to share in the success as well. And, nice. You know, they're really doing a nice job driving the business. So,
yeah. Cause your sales team, you know, many of your leaders on the executive team came over with right. you on this. Okay.
Yeah. So that's been awesome. It's certainly helped, you know, not really skip a beat through the transition. And you
like working with everybody. Right. And have a good time.
Yep. We have a lot of fun.
I know that.
And I imagine that was part of the negotiation when you sold, like, hey, I'm bringing these guys with me.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of my complete exit from Sutton was that I wanted to hold on to Envoy wholly. And they, yeah. you know, they viewed that as a conflict. So
kind of your baby. But they viewed that as a conflict?
They viewed it as a conflict yeah. if I was still involved with Envoy and still, you know, if I was still, if I remained part of the, you know, the Dorn Sutton team going yeah. forward. So again, as things evolved, it was kind of decided that I would hold on to Envoy wholly and then be able to bring some of my key.
Wow.
So you have nothing to do with Sutton or Dorn at this point.
Not anymore. No, yeah. no, it was wow. a clean cut.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so like a lot of times there's an earnout, there's a leadership evolution but it was like, okay, here you're on Monday, I'm gone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we still work together. I mean, there's still definitely a carrier in our Envoy profile.
Yeah.
That we like to do business with. So, I mean, there's not, there's still a relationship there for sure. Yeah. But
didn't end with bad blood or anything like that. No, but you kind of set the terms. You're like, no, I'm going to take Envoy and I'll be on my merry way. And if you don't want the whole Sutton Transportation Company, then you don't have to have it under these terms. These are my terms.
Something like that.
Yeah. Take it or leave it.
You guys are on the leading edge of economic indicators for how the economy is mm-hmm. about to do or going to do. Like, I know a lot of economists, Paul, you're one of them.
Thank you.
Loads of trucks going into the, going on, you know, how many, what's the KPI that I'm talking about? Like the,
well, I'm not exactly sure, but truckload world, we track tender rejection rate.
Okay.
So, it's basically the amount of truckloads that get tendered contractually to truckers.
Okay.
And, you know, they're contractual rates, but if they feel like they can make more money on the spot market, okay. then they'll reject that contractual load and go to the spot market. And that's once that rejection rate starts to escalate, that's indicative of one of two things, right? Supply or demand.
Yeah.
Either supply, trucking supply is coming out of the country, I guess,
okay.
or demand starting to pick up. And over the last couple of weeks, there's been like the biggest influx of tender rejection rates that we've seen since COVID. That's
a bad sign?
It could be a good sign. Okay. It could mean a few different things. So there's typically a holiday crunch
right.
in trucking. So it could just be a holiday crunch that's been,
but it's the most since COVID.
Yeah. To a higher degree since COVID.
Yeah.
Or it could mean capacity is just drained out. You know, capacity is drained out. There's been a real push by Sean Duffy, and he's the Secretary of
Transportation
DOT
yeah.
now. So yeah, there's been a big crackdown on getting immigrants and bad actors out of the trucking industry. That's kind of kept rates suppressed for the last couple of years. So, or it could just mean another influx in demand, which I think everybody's hopeful is the case. But I think it'll take till later January until we'll see whether or not it's more of a holiday blip or if it's going to be a sustained.
There's only so much trucking capacity in the United States, and you're right. kind of at the forefront of it. So it really is a leading economic indicator. And so how are things looking for the economy as you see them in 2026?
Yeah, I think this is maybe a cop out, but hopefully optimistic or cautiously optimistic, I think
Hell is yeah.
probably the right. right term. Again, hopefully the readings continue to trend upwards. And to us, that means that manufacturing is getting back yeah. on track because, you know, largely manufacturing has been contracting over the last two or three years.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Hopefully it's expanding again.
Yeah. Hopefully we're on our way back up. Yeah. I think largely in 25, most of our customers have been pretty level, you know, pretty, business-wise,
yeah.
business level standpoint,
yeah.
somewhat stagnant, not really huge dips, but.
So you're seeing an uptick and we can expect to build that into our business plan in 2026 at Rocket. yeah. We're going to be 8% growth.
Yeah. Yeah. 8. Right. Let's double it.
All right, man.
16.
Cliff, you grew up in Wausau, right. obviously, moved away, came back, boomeranged back. You know, aside from all the great people that live here, what's your favorite thing about Wausau, would you say? The Wausau Country Club or?
Malarkey's.
I do like all those establishments.
Yeah. You're a hell of a golfer. I know that.
I'm a decent golfer. Okay. The PGA isn't coming around looking.
They're not
for
knocking.
No,
trust me, you're better than us at golf.
Yeah, dude.
better than me for sure.
Yeah, I think it just strikes a really good balance. For having everything that we need, but doesn't come with the big city issues, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you an outdoorsman, hunter, fisherman?
I like to fish. I'm a glamour hunter.
Glamour hunter. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
What is that definition of a glamour?
Probably shouldn't have admitted
you
that.
You shoot rhinos and stuff? Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Like if they can kind of, if I'm well guided and the training wheels are on, then give me the gun and I can shoot it.
Okay.
Type of thing.
I like that.
Are you one of those guys that goes like overseas somewhere and hunts?
I haven't done that. I've gone up to Canada. I did a moose hunt in Canada. That was probably the extent.
With a guide.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, wow.
So. Always a guide.
Right. I need somebody holding my hand.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
But you're a fisherman.
Yeah. I like to fish. I'm not crazy. I actually like to ice fish probably more than fishing off a boat.
You actually pull some out of the hole, huh?
Yeah. We went last weekend. We caught a bunch out of Minocqua's.
And you have how many children?
I have three. I've got two teenagers and one little one, 1 3-year-old.
And good for your daughter.
Yeah. My daughter's... She's going to be 13 pretty soon here. Yeah, she's doing well. She had a bout with cancer when she was 4. We discovered a brain tumor, and that was a really tough time. She went through a long surgery and spent a month in the hospital. Went through radiation, chemo, the whole bit. So yeah, I was away from the business for a good 6 to 9 months during all that, and fortunately, I had people help me out and kind of take over while I was away. And that was a really tough. We weren't really sure how we were going to come out of that, but she's still doing well now. She gets scans annually to check in, and so far, you know, knock on wood, everything has been going really well. And you know, it's kind of a black cloud that still hovers, I guess, especially when we get closer to the time to go in for her checkups.
Oh,
but those are pretty rough days. But
so she's 13, 14 now.
She'll be 13 soon.
Wow, and that happened when she was 4.
Oh my god. And what? She's doing really well. I want to promote her business. She has a slime business.
Cool.
I don't know if you know what's, if you have kids, maybe you know what slime is.
Yeah,
it's similar to like a Play-Doh type of thing. So she's opened up her own slime business called Slay Slimes, and she has her own website and
SlaySlimes.com.
SlaySlimes.com.
Cool.
I'm going to plug her.
Check it out. SlaySlimes.com.
Right. She's usually at a lot of these local trade shows and business fairs and stuff like that too.
I know because of all of that, because of your dad and your daughter's bouts with cancer, you're big proponents of the MAC fund, and that's a childhood children cancer cause.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, going through my daughter's ordeal, you know, you spend a lot of time in children's hospitals and you see how, you know, this affects them and their families and all. It really does change your perspective and life and everything else. So leaving there, I wanted to try to find a cause that we could pitch in and help. So we partnered up with the MAC Fund. They're based out of Milwaukee, but all of their revenues or profits that they generate go directly towards child cancer research. And I participate in something called the Ringer every April. It's 100 holes of golf in a day, and we run a campaign to raise money, and
all goes to the MAC fund.
And I think I've done it for like I want to say 7 years now, and probably it raised close to $100,000 just with my own campaigns. And I think the event has raised a couple millions.
Awesome.
We're proud of that.
Yeah. And then you also have the Frank A. Sutton Memorial Scholarship at the North Central at NTC.
Mm-hmm.
That's in memory of your father, and the MAC Fund is in support of cancer research in children and everything that goes for. So good stuff around
great
the holidays.
Causes.
Great causes.
Yeah.
Well, Cliff, really appreciate you coming through. Apologies for the
horn honking,
restless horns out there. And hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks a lot for coming in. Cliff Sutton on the Wausau Business Show, everybody.
Thanks, Cliff. Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking like the dude man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on.
From Tom and Jerry's at the Domino to last-minute shopping at KB Toy Store, happy holidays from the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Wausau Business Show.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And a many home.
That's about what I know. Mary or something like that. Beautiful song.
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy you love to see when you don't need to see him, Mr. Joe Rader.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Welcome, buddy.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
He welcomed. Yeah. We're doing the winter, what did I call it?
Winter Road Warrior episode.
Yeah. Winter Weather Driving Conditions special here on the Wausau Business Show. There you go. And who better to talk to than Joe Rader of Joe Rader Towing? Is it Joe Rader Towing or Joe Rader Trucking?
Joe Rader Towing.
Yeah.
This is the man himself, Joe Rader.
Yeah. Well, here welcome. So, your father or grandfather started the business?
My dad started it.
Yes.
He worked for Denny's Standard for, I think, 37 years before we went out on our own.
Hot damn. Denny's. I remember that place.
I do. I remember that place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now we've been in business for almost 25 years now on our own.
You're operating 24/7, 365.
That's correct. Every day.
Not you individually, but you as a team.
Yeah, we have, you know, multiple employees, full-time and part-time, and everybody, you know, works together as a team, and we get the job done.
24-hour roadside assistance, the premier towing service in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And during the winter months, obviously, it's worse, and that's why we wanted to have you on, because during the holidays, people are traveling. This is the most dangerous time of year to be on Central Wisconsin roads, especially if you're from Florida.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, obviously, if you're traveling through the area trying to get to your destination for the holidays. It's everything breaks down. Cars break down, and we're just there to help everybody get back on the road.
Yeah, you're a real savior.
Get to where they got to go.
Yeah. I mean, imagine Joe Rader coming through a snowstorm.
I've seen it personally.
You know, to come salvage your car out of the ditch
and save your life.
6 feet of snow and help you, save your life, basically.
Yeah.
You're an angel. This has to do with Christmas as well. And one thing we know about Christmas is it brings the angels out.
Yeah, from the sky and through the snow. And love it.
But do you love it, Joe?
I like it. I mean, it's
saving people.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, rewarding for personal, but it's very trying. I mean, it's all hours of the day, all hours of the night. And
what kind of hours are you working?
You know, I generally work during the week, 7:30 in the morning till 5 or 6 at night till things calm down if it's busy during the day. And, you know, I'll work out cover shifts for whoever needs it and whatever. It is what it is.
I would imagine that sometimes you are the first person on the scene, in all seriousness, in a pretty bad wreck. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we're on the road constantly. You run into an accident situation that just happened. And obviously, you know, you're going to stop and make sure everybody's okay, first of all. And then, you know, get the rest of the information and call 911 if need be, or call the sheriff's department or the PD and you know, get that end of it started.
Are you like a doctor, the Hippocratic Oath or whatever? If they see a crash on the side of the road, by law, I think they're required to stop.
Yeah, they're obligated to.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be a pretty terrible person not to stop if you've seen something, you know. You
roll right by with your wrecker.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's what we do. We're, you know, you see something like that happen, you're obviously going to stop and at least make sure everybody's okay.
Well, customer satisfaction is obviously very high. Paul, would you do the honors?
Yeah. So you've got some good reviews online here. Morning G says, the friendliest and kindest tow truck drivers we've ever met. They are absolutely honest and give great suggestions. Their service is so excellent. I recommend their services to anyone who needs a safe tow at night.
Yeah, I could get behind Joe being one of the nicest people out there. That's for
I
sure.
Second that.
Right?
And I think Jared Colcord would third that. Yeah. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're dressed in your safety uniform today. And I want to do some trivia here.
Okay.
Between you and Paul. Okay.
Oh. Mano y mano? We're 1v1? We're going against each other? Okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. Just raise your hand
or ring the bell
or shout if you can answer what the function of a carburetor is in a car. Go ahead.
I think they're old.
Paul, go ahead.
That's what I know about them. I think they're old.
Uh-huh.
And it has something to do with running the engine.
Okay. Joe?
Right? Yeah. I mean, Paul's right in the aspect
Thanks.
Of that, but it mixes air with fuel and allows the engine to run.
That's okay. what I said. That's what I said.
One point for Joe. One point for Joe over the holidays here. Okay. Paul, a tie rod. What's the definition of a tie rod?
Isn't that a ski hill in Colorado?
That's Tyrol Basin.
Oh, my bad.
Okay.
My bad.
Okay. Joe?
No.
Joe?
Tie rod's part of the steering components that allow the wheel to turn left or right and hold it straight while you're going on the road.
Okay. Another point. You let him have that one. Okay. Happy holidays, Joe. Congratulations. A couple more here.
Okay. Do I get to field it first again?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Ready? Here we go, Paul. Yeah. I knew you'd be begging to field it first. I like that rather than buzzing in.
Yeah. It's the Humiliate Paul show. Go ahead.
Drive shaft.
Drive shaft is the component that connects the two axles to each other.
I would say to steer the car. I don't know. To steer the car. Joe?
It drives the axle, but it connects the transmission to the rear end, allowing, power from the transmission to get to the rear axle.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Guess what? Joe won that one, too.
Three to nothing, Joe Raider. Okay. Two more. The definition of an upper strut versus a lower strut.
Watch your mouth.
Strut your stuff. Go.
The upper strut is generally going to be higher than the lower strut. It's the strut that's higher than the lower one.
The elevation of the strut, obviously.
Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Okay. Joe?
I was going to say it's when Paul's walking out of the tavern.
I walk in with the lower strut and I walk out with the upper strut.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, Joe, what is it? What is it?
Struts, basically part of your front suspension. It's got the spring and your shock absorber all in one.
Okay.
Wow. Another point. Knows everything.
For Joe. Okay, last one here over the holidays here.
Okay.
This is a holiday game of do you know your stuff? The alternator. That's an easy one, Paul.
The alternator has something to do with the switching of the power from the battery to the gas tank.
I think he's right, Joe, isn't he?
Well,
or the gas tank to the power, right?
Well, it creates power for the car to run. It drives off of the engine, via the serpentine belt.
The serpentine belt.
That's what I thought.
Yep. It's close. Very close.
The serpentine belt. Two, that's three. A new one.
Okay, so we've got 4-0. Congratulations, Joe.
Yeah,
no
way to
doubt
go.
In my mind that you were going to win that. Happy holidays.
Is that a real badge of honor to beat me in this game? I don't know.
Trucker trivia. I would have done about the same, Paul.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Joe, what's the most crazy, without, I don't want to get gory or anything, but I would imagine you've seen some multi-car pileups. You've seen it all, I would imagine.
There was
rollovers. What's the most common?
I mean, your most common is just to slide off into the ditch.
Yeah.
And hopefully nobody else hits you as you're spinning out or going through. But the slide offs are the most common.
I always worry about something happening on a bridge and I, instead of sliding off into the ditch innocently and
you go in the river,
that I blow through the bridge and into the river. Does that ever happen?
It's happened. Cars going over the bridge onto the ice. Never personally for me into the river.
Okay. So it's not, it goes onto the ice, but doesn't break through the ice. And
surprisingly, it didn't. It was pretty late in the winter. So the ice was pretty thick, I would assume. Yeah.
Okay. Next time I go over a bridge, I'll remember that.
Make sure it's late in the winter.
What are you going to do with that memory? How's your driving strategy going to change?
It's going to make me feel better.
Okay. I see.
Safer.
We're safe now.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I got
it's ice. It's iced up. I don't need to worry about
fine.
That. Especially with the kids. I could care less if I go over.
Right.
It's about the kids.
It is about the kids. Good reminder over this holiday season.
Joe, what about the damn insurance companies? Do you have to...
Leading question.
Do they get coal every winter from you or is it...
Do we like them or...
I like insurance companies. They're there to do their job, obviously. And, it's a good thing to have insurance on a vehicle when you're driving.
Do they pay you most of the time? Is that how that works? Like, most of your income for Joe Raider Towing, does it come from insurance companies or is it individuals?
Some, we're a AAA provider as well as some other roadside assistance programs. You know, they pay us all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't work with them. But yeah, insurance companies, I think, are good.
Okay. Well, while I'm on the roll here,
go ahead.
What about those damn lawyers?
Just generally speaking.
Yeah. Do they make you get up on the stand or anything and talk about, you know, what happened in the wreck or anything like that a lot?
No, not necessarily. There hasn't been much where we'd have to testify about anything.
You don't get involved in that?
Yeah, by the time we get there, everything is pretty much hashed out already.
No big deal. Okay. All right. And if you had a piece of advice for people, you know, I know that people in Florida, they have different tires down south, right? If they're driving up from the south, any advice to people driving in inclement weather, central Wisconsin, winter weather for the first time?
Yeah, just make sure, you know, you got a good all-season tire on. You know, most of your SUVs and stuff come with those pretty general from the factory.
The tire's the most important thing in your opinion, do you think?
Yeah, the tires grip the road. I mean, it's...
Number one, well, bald tire,
if you got
screwed.
A bald tire, it's like having four glazed donuts on your car. You're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Any other expressions you can share with us?
Tough to beat four glazed donuts.
Yeah, you're not going to... That's a pretty good analogy, I guess.
You know, I know some people, you know, they put huge bags of ice or something to weigh down in the bed of their F-150.
Bags of sand.
If you got a pickup truck or an SUV, a bag of sand or like the tube in the sand from a big box store or whatever, or even like some cat litter.
So it matters.
Yeah, and if you would have a situation where you would be a little stuck, you know, you could take that bag of sand and break it open and give yourself a little traction to it.
There you go.
Multi-purpose.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm in a snowstorm. I'm heading down 39.
Burr.
I'm in the right lane because there's a snowstorm going on. I'm following traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The plows always get the right lane first. And then an 18-wheeler blows right past.
Right.
And I got a total whiteout.
Yep.
Total whiteout. What are your thoughts on that situation? Are you with the trucker or are you with the driver?
It's frustrating because, I mean, the trucker obviously should have the experience that they should slow down. But, you know, they have a lot of weight. They have a lot of extra traction. They can run that fast lane.
They can do whatever the hell they want. And in that moment, I always wish for a jackknife.
Just oh, boy.
Alone. I don't want it to impact anybody but the driver. But I'm like, that
runs through your mind.
Well, it's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, it is. You know, the whiteout condition it creates is dangerous for the 20 seconds it takes your wipers to catch up and everything like that.
Yeah, we all slam on our brakes and there's a 30-car pileup all of a sudden because of this driver.
Right.
Yeah, yep. Or you get the SUV that passes you and a quarter mile down the road, they're in the ditch as well. So
typically with an Illinois license plate.
Well, we won't go there.
Okay, all right.
No, but seriously, how many of your wrecks do you pull out that are out-of-towners?
No, it's, you know, more so around the holidays, people traveling, trying to get to their destination.
They're all listening right now.
Yeah, they don't, you know.
The visitors.
If you're not watching the weather forecast, I mean, if you run into a snowstorm, if you're unprepared, you're not going to know, obviously.
My grandparents used to say, in the winter, you keep a candle in your car. Any truth to that? Because it's just
keep you warm, I think?
A candle itself will keep you warm if you get in a wreck.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, I wouldn't want to sit in there for 3 or 4 hours burning a candle.
Eventually, I'd just light the thing on fire.
Yeah.
The car. Whole car. I need heat.
But no, it's a good idea to have a little winter travel kit, you know, like a blanket, jumper cables, gloves, mittens, hat, you know, extra stuff you don't normally wear in the car just to keep you warm in the event you would go in the ditch and your car isn't able to run any longer and you're waiting for the tow truck to show up.
How long does it take your team typically
to get there?
What's
your typical response time?
If it's super busy out, you know, it could be an hour.
You ever come across people that are, you know, getting hypothermic?
I don't run into that. You know, if it's a situation where we're going to be a while, generally the officer, if there's an officer on scene, will let them sit in the squad car and warm up.
Yeah.
Any other advice that you would give Central Wisconsin visiting drivers for this holiday season?
If anything, just take your time and go slow if there's a snowstorm. I mean,
don't be an asshole.
Yeah, an extra 20 minutes on the road will save you who knows how long if you're in an accident.
Are most people disheveled, crying,
hysteric
when you run into them, or are they mostly
very calm?
Or I would imagine you run into gentlemen that are the alpha type that are real upset and ready to fight.
Oh. Yeah, you nailed the head on that one. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you know you're having an accident and you're obviously upset of what's going on, and then you're upset that there's extra money coming out of your pocket to pay for, you know, the damaged car, the towing expenses, mm-hmm. and all that.
Real so emotional.
You know, we're the savior that shows up, but a lot of times people aren't very happy that we're there.
Yeah, you're an angel, but you're also a psychiatrist in a way when you show up on the scene.
Yeah, you'll have that some days.
Do they usually get in the truck with you?
Yeah, if they need to go somewhere, you know, they can ride with us in the truck, and you know, there's some interesting conversations.
I bet. I can imagine.
Are any of them drunk?
Oh, no. If that's the biggest thing. If we do pull up on a situation where there isn't somebody, you know, an officer or something, and my driver smells alcohol or anything, we'll call the police out there. And
yeah, you got to do that
just
first.
Liability reasons.
And how many of your incidents involve, you know, just stuff like that? Drugs or alcohol?
I mean, a lot of times, if it even is that, we don't even know. If the people are already gone, I don't know if they were taken to the hospital or what took place.
Or to jail.
Before we got there. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But Marathon County does a pretty nice job with snow removal and salting and everything, right?
Yeah, I would say for the most part. I mean, it's tough to be everywhere at every place and time when there's a slippery spot. But I mean, I would say overall, between the city and the county, they do a pretty good job with snow removal and salting and sanding.
Is there an area, you know, like on that by Aspirus, that big
hill? Yeah, that giant hill.
What's that? It's not West Hill, is it?
No. We used to call it Steepy.
Steepy?
Oh, yeah. That's closed now, actually, that 20th Avenue Hill.
Why? It got too steep?
It didn't get too steep. It always was.
It was just recognized for its steepness.
They finally declared it too steep.
Yeah, I think this is probably a couple years ago. We had a big rainstorm in the summer and kind of washed it out. And
they never replaced it?
They just closed it, and that's that.
What road was that?
20th Avenue, right by Wausau Hospital.
There. Yeah. Good, and by Wausau Child Care?
Yep.
Good sledding hill.
Yeah, now it would be. No, I didn't say that.
You're not condoning that.
No, okay. Definitely not.
But okay. I was going to ask, you know, what is the most dangerous road in Wausau in the winter, would you say?
I don't think there's a specific one that sticks out, but, you know.
Not a lot of places where you're constantly going back to?
They keep going in the ditch on this road.
Yeah, no, I mean, hilly areas and residential areas, you know, that don't see a lot of traffic sometimes can be probably some of the worst spots. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's...
Nothing stands out?
Nothing crazy.
Oh, okay.
Did you have anything in mind, Ryan?
Well, the one that I mentioned.
Yeah, Steepy.
Steepy on 20th.
Yeah, when that was open, I mean, there you'd be, just every snowstorm, there'd be someone stuck trying to get up or go down.
Okay, so that would have won the, that would have taken the cake.
That would have been the one.
I would have thought.
Because I think what happens is you start going up and you're not going anywhere. You're spinning out and then you go sideways and slide down.
Yep. And then you're stopping and you've got the brake through the floorboard and you keep sliding.
Yeah.
And speaking of braking, do you subscribe to the pump your brakes theory philosophy? Strategy
nowadays with the new cars with the anti-lock brakes,
kind of unnecessary.
They advise against that because it kind of screws up the computers. I mean, it fools the computer system what's going on. So the best thing is just to push the brake and
as hard as possible,
and the car will take care of the rest.
Just slam it as hard as you possibly can.
Yeah, basically.
Okay,
good lesson, Ryan. You taking notes?
Yeah, I am. This is a lot to ask. This is decades worth of driving.
Fear.
the yearn of information.
Yeah. We're learning it all.
Well, what do you like to do for fun in your free time? Not that you have much, but...
I like to relax and...
Little Tom and Jerry's?
Yeah, if there's time.
Okay. Well, I noticed that your phone in your pocket there, it's facing me and it's been blowing up the entire time.
Yeah, this guy doesn't take a break.
Like, if they're calling you now, what are they asking you questions about what to do, or?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Oh my God, it's just one thing right after another?
Or a telemarketer, one of the two.
Okay. Oh, that too. We all get those then, okay.
Well, thanks for all the work that you do to keep Wausonians safe, Joe.
And I can personally say thanks. You guys have come to my rescue twice in the last 7 years.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's so what we're awesome. For.
Yeah. Number one in the area in terms of keeping us safe, keeping us out of the ditch, getting us out of the ditch, and giving us some tips on safe driving for this holiday season. So thanks for
stopping by. Thanks, Joe.
Joe Rader, everybody.
Great. All right.
Yeah, man. This time of year, it's the holidays, but it's also, you know, an important time for football, Paul. Big Bears still suck weekend.
Big game. Two out of the last three games are the Bears. I wonder how often that happens.
It's a big one this week. Game of the year.
After the last game, I bet a Bears fan. I bet the over. I bet the first to score. I bet the first half, and I bet overall. Yeah. And I bet, I think, the spread or whatever. I tried to take every bet he would offer
me. Did you clean him out?
I cleaned him out. I bet. I won every bet with him on the game.
Good.
And then he goes, well, I'll see you again in 2 weeks. You want to go double or nothing?
Oh, boy.
And I said, I don't bet that far in advance. I got to see how this goes.
How this shakes out.
And then, you know, the injuries happen.
Micah Parsons.
I always say Micah, but Micah.
Yeah, Micah, tomato, tomato.
And Watson's out now.
Is he out this week?
So thank God I didn't take him on the bet.
Boy.
I'm nervous.
So you're not going to bet him?
No, I'm not going to bet him, but I really hope the Packers win.
Yeah, right. Doesn't mean you can't root for him.
Don't have as much confidence.
Well, I hope they come out ahead. It's going to be a tough game with the injuries this week, and it's in the hostile Soldier Field territory, so
yeah,
it's going to make it harder.
Well, go Pack, go. And until next time on the Wausau Business Show from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end!
Over and out. Dodger. All right, well, we'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Over and out.
And Merry Christmas, by the way.
Same to you.
Okay.
Holiday, oh, holiday, and the best one of the year. Dozing off underneath my sheets while I cover.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved 2025.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.